Wow. It's 2020. Diane's shaking her head. Did you ever think you'd make it to 2020? Now, I know y'all don't understand this, but y'all remember Y2K in 2000? You know, we thought the world was going to crash. There was the jets are going to fall out of the sky. The banking institutions are going down. All the computers are going to blow up and all this stuff. And we got through that. And here we are in 2020. Wow, another decade, Jay. Can you imagine I'm that old? I can't either. Now, if I were to ask you this question, what do you think this year is going to hold? How many of you would say it's good? How many of you say it's bad? But y'all are optimistic, aren't you? Have y'all turned the news on? Y'all read the paper? Let's think about, well, I know that, but you got to let me get to my point in the sermon here, okay? I'm done. You got it. Now, look at things. Look at the issues we have in this country. Immigration, violence, gun control, impeachment, budgets, which they haven't even started on yet. Tensions in various parts of the world, such as people in Korea, Iran, Iraq, China, Chile, Pakistan, India. Climate change, earthquakes, wildfires, volcanoes, plane crashes, terrorist attacks. Now they're walking into schools and churches and carrying them out. I mean, not a real nice world, is it? And we haven't even started talking about the election. Anybody looking forward to the election? Yeah, the name calling's already started. The stuff's already being slung out there. I mean, you know, whether you want it to stay the same or change, it doesn't matter. Nobody's really looking forward to the election. Things kind of don't look real good, do they? And then you got the state of the United Methodist Church, and we won't even talk about that other than to say that. Local community. Think of the things we've been rocked by in the last 3 to 4 weeks. The tragedy on Christmas Eve. We've lost two of our own in Bud and Harold. Others have been in the hospital. Really, when you look around, it seems like things are going the wrong way. We already had five Mondays this year, and we said we wasn't going to have but 50. Yeah. Doesn't seem like things are going right, does it? Or is it that we're not looking at things correctly? Is it that we're not seeing the way we need to see? Have you ever thought about the problem, maybe, that our vision is not correct? The author of Hebrews wrote this. He said, "Fixing our eyes upon Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith." I think oftentimes we forget to fix our eyes on Jesus, and we fix them on the circumstances that surround us, on what's affecting us, or what we're concerned about, or what the news may tell us, and we take our eyes off of Jesus. Maybe we've become too wrapped up in our own little world. Maybe we've become too self-important, even thinking that we can control things when it's really not up to us. Or maybe we were like this man I heard about. Now, this is not theologically correct, okay? But I heard about a man, and he got up to heaven. And he stands there, and you know Peter has to look your name up. So Peter looks his name up and says, "You're here 2 years early." "Oh, really? Yeah, but I tell you what, I'm going to let you go on in, even because I got your name here, but you're 2 years early. But here's the deal. You cannot complain about anything once you get in. If you complain about anything like you did down on earth, we're going to come and grab you and escort you out immediately." Okay, I understand. So he's walking through heaven. He was seeing things. And even though he wanted to say something, you know, he was keeping it quiet. He'd come up on a wagon that had run off the road, and the wagon was mired in the mud. And they had a team of horses on the front and a team of horses on the back pulling it out. Well, of course, that was it. "You idiots! Don't you know nothing? You're..." But as soon as he said that, Peter showed up, grabbed him, said, "Remember what I told you? Let's go." Escorted him to the gate and shoved him out the gate. And as the gate was shutting, the man turned around and he saw the horses had sprouted wings. The wagon was up in the air and over and being set back on the road. He was looking with earthly eyes, not heavenly eyes. He didn't understand what was going on. Maybe we're like that. Our perspectives are often wrong. Let's talk about two miracles that we have in the scriptures. I'm going to stay in John for both of them. The first is found in John chapter 11. And before we read that, what has happened here in this chapter, Lazarus, remember Jesus' friend, has died. Remember Mary and Martha, his sister, sent to him and said, hey, come on quick. Our brother's dying. And Jesus tarried another little while. And when he went back, remember it says Lazarus had been dead 4 days and he was in the grave. And Jesus, when he was talking to the sisters, I'm setting the story up with what it says in my words. They take him to the gravesite, and Jesus says, remove the stone. And Martha says, Lord, by now he stinks. I mean, that's what she says, you know. Don't remove the grave, the stone right now. And Jesus said, no, remove the stone. Now, what they did in those days, they wrapped him in 60 yards of linen, and they poured spices in between those wrappings, and then they put him in the grave. So we're there, and Jesus has the stone rolled away. And then we read these words. After he had said this, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out! The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, his face wrapped in a cloth. And Jesus said to them, unbind him, let him go. Got a great miracle here. Man's been called back, been dead 4 days, and he's called back. But did you notice how he came out of the grave? Still tied up. Still had the bindings on him, the grave clothes, if you will. Still had all that on him. And he walked out, and Jesus had to say, unbind him. How many of us are walking around with grave clothes still on? Grave clothes of depression, despondency. Look at the news and, oh gosh, this ain't going to work. We can't do this. How many of us walk around with our own grave clothes on when Jesus has already called us back from the dead? But here's a theological point we need to talk about. A lot of people tell you Lazarus was resurrected. Lazarus was not resurrected. Lazarus was brought back from the dead. Lazarus is going to die again. We don't have him with us today because he has to go through that physical death again. Resurrection is permanent, eternal, forever. We can call back from the dead, isn't it? In fact, let me show you that. You know the story of Jesus. He was crucified, dead, and buried. You know, on that Easter morning, the women went to the tomb, and they found it empty, and Mary went back, and she tells them, hey, somebody stole the body, you know, and then we read that two of the disciples, Peter and John, got up and took off for the grave. And then we read this in John chapter 20. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter. Peter was old and fat. He had too many pieces of coconut cake. But it was good. So the other disciple reached the tomb first. He bent down. He looked in. He saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. And Simon Peter came. Following him, he went into the tomb. I guess he's a little more brave. He's not as scared of spiders and stuff, I guess. You know, he went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there. The cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who reached the tomb first also went in. He saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture, he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned home. Did you notice the difference between Jesus and Lazarus? The grave clothes of Jesus were still in the tomb. He didn't walk out in grave clothes. He walked out free completely. He walked out not worried about this world or the things of this world. He walked out a new creature. Not just a dead man come back to life like Lazarus did. How are we walking around? How are we living? Are we living as dead men still wrapped up in our grave clothes? Or are we truly living as resurrected beings that we are? If you go all the way back to John chapter 11, when we were talking about that story where Jesus called Lazarus out, he gave Martha a little bit of a hint. In John 11:25, he said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, yet shall they live. I am the resurrection and the life. Even though you die, you're still going to live. That's resurrection. That's not just calling you back to life. That's being a new creature. That's being a new person. That's living completely and freely. Paul talks about it in the book of Romans. Romans 6:4, Paul puts it this way. This is from the Living Bible. He says, your old sin-loving nature was buried with him by baptism. There's the death, okay? When he died, and when God the Father with the glorious power brought him back to life again, you were given this wonderful new life to enjoy. You've been resurrected. Do you get that? Resurrected means you don't keep the same grave clothes on. You leave them behind in the tomb, and you put on this new self. In fact, this is the way that the Message puts it, Eugene Peterson. He says, that's what baptism into the life of Jesus means. We're lowered into the water. It's like the burial of Jesus. When we're raised up out of the water, it's like the resurrection of Jesus. Each of us is raised, resurrected, we could say, into a light-filled world by our Father so that we can see where we're going in a new grace-sovereign world. Look at that a minute. We are resurrected with Christ into a new grace-sovereign world. Do you think this world is grace-sovereign now? Turn the news on. There's not a thing about grace in there. There's not a thing about mercy. You look at the headlines. There's nothing about love in there. It's all about hatred, greed, envy. Give me my way. Give me my way. And that's it. And it exists even within the church. Did you read where the guy got arrested that used to be the priest for molesting kids in Tampa this week, 20-some-odd years ago? We're walking around living with our grave clothes still on. We haven't taken off our grave clothes. Why? We need to shake off those grave clothes and allow the eyes of faith that God has given us to open our eyes to the possibilities that exist in the world today because of our faith in Jesus Christ. We find our hope in Jesus. We find our hope in the power of God in the resurrection, not in a man, a president, a political party, or anything else. It's in Jesus and Jesus Christ alone. In fact, Jesus said this back in John 10:10. He said, the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but I came that you may have life and have it abundantly. Have life and have it abundantly. How many of us just walk through just getting by? Well, I'm here today. I got to tell you, I'm guilty of that many times. Are you here today, preacher? Yeah, I'm here. You know, we're down when we should be the most happy people on earth. Because we've got it all. Jesus is our Savior. He's got our life in His hand. Why can't we cast off these grave clothes? Then I'll have people tell me, well, I don't know that we can do that. Well, I'm going to show you where we can. Hebrews 12, we read this. Therefore, since we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, these are the people in the church that have gone before us, the Bud Davises, the Harold Shapiros, the Don Heismans, and other people that have helped us with our faith, as well as Moses and others. Let us lay aside every weight in every sin that clings so closely. Let us lay aside. That's something we have to do, not something Jesus does for us. We have that power to lay this sin, this worry, this frustration aside so that we can run the race. To put it in the words of the way we used it today, we have the authority to take our grave clothes off and live into the power of the resurrection. But are we doing so? If we were doing so, would the world look different? If we were doing so, would your life look different? If we were doing so, would there be any empty seats in this building? Or any church? Or anywhere else? Wouldn't everybody be saying, hey, let me have some of what you got. How do you get it? And we'd have to tell them, you're going to have to die to yourself, and they're going to have to look at it strange, but we'll explain that. But wouldn't people want it? Laying aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely. Let us run with perseverance the race that's set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. Lay everything aside. We often forget this fact, that we have the power of the resurrection within us. I'm probably going to talk a little more about that next week. But one of the other things we forget is we forget where our real enemy is. We think our enemy is the Muslims or the Islams or the Democrats or the Republicans or the liberals or the conservatives, however you want to put it. But our enemy is not against anyone on this earth as a person. Our enemy is against evil and the spirits of evil. In fact, it's put this way in Ephesians. Our struggle is not against enemies of blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. We don't have to hate our neighbor. We don't have to hate the people that don't look like us. We hate the evil. We hate the spiritual evil. We hate the devil. We hate the sin that lurks within us that he uses, but not the individuals. If we can ever grasp this, will it change the way we live? In 2020, as I thought about what did I want to say, what did I want to encourage us to do, I thought about myself. And I got to tell you, Ken, I still smell grave clothes on me. You know, I look at my life and I say, you know, I've got too much greed, too much ego, too much love of coconut cake. You know, that's gluttony. That's gluttony, you know. Too much whatever. You could put whatever you want. I need to look at myself and say, what's holding me back from running this race that I want to run and being the light that Jesus calls me to be? To having that resurrection power live in me and come out of me the way Jesus says it can. What's holding me back? What kind of grave clothes do I need to take off? Maybe you need to go home and make a list of that. What do I need to do? You know, they call it different things. They may call it self-improvement or other things. I'm going to tell you the truth. It's how do I become more like Jesus Christ and get rid of this sin in my life? How do I do that? How do I take them clothes off? And one of the things I've decided I'm going to do this year is I'm going to say out loud in front of you and to Satan, Satan, let me loose! You got no hold on me. Only Jesus Christ has a hold on me. There's no grave clothes going to hold me down. There's no sin going to hold me down, because I'm going to live in the power of the resurrected Jesus Christ. And that power brings us to new life. Now, if we would go out and live that way, how would we change the world? Would we do what we're supposed to be doing then and be bringing the light to Jesus Christ? How many times does Satan wrap us up? You can't get out of those clothes. These clothes, I don't live in them. They're back in the grave. Go look at the scripture. I'm resurrected, dude. You got nothing on me. Let's live that way this year. Let's see what 2020 does and look back at the end next year and look at the miracles, because we decided we were going to be let loose in 2020. Take your connection card. What is your next step? Is it to memorize John 11:25, where Jesus said, I'm the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And as you memorize that, realize that you live in that resurrection power. And that the grave clothes are left in the grave. And you are a new creature, created new, created for good things. Remember the scripture that says God has prepared good things for us to do before we were even born. And that you're going to live into that power and that life that God wants for you. Maybe you need to check this one, that you're going to remove the bindings of your life. Maybe you need to go home and scream at the devil just like I did. Let me loose. And let him know that you're not going to be bound anymore. Maybe we all need to check this third one, that we're going to allow Jesus, notice what it says, to transform us. Transform means you're changed into a different person, a different being. You have the power of life in you now, not the power of death. God rules you, not sin or darkness. When you're transformed, you become something different, not just the person that you were before. we all need to be transformed by the love of Christ. Or maybe you can check the last one. You're going to live in the power of the resurrection. And that power breaks all chains, all sins, all bondages, and brings you into the full life of Christ.